This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I really want to thank Dr. Jones for this opportunity to be here. In so many ways, I'll have to admit to you, I feel like I'm completely out of my league. You've already blessed me. Where'd they go? They bless me beyond measure. And your love for the Lord and all that you have already demonstrated in your sincere desire to worship and honor Him has already blessed my soul. So thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today. In some ways, though, I will tell you that I feel quite at home. About a month ago, my husband and I went to visit our daughter who goes to Westmont College in California, and we attended chapel with her. And when we went in and sat down, we waited just much like this was this morning. There were announcements. There was an awesome worship team that led us in incredible worship, and it was all such a blessing. But the whole time I'm sitting there, I was really thinking about you. I was trying to imagine what it would be like to be here. And the speaker went up to the podium, and he began to speak. And after a few minutes, I thought, oh, I am in so much trouble. Because if this is the kind of thing that you are supposed to talk about, your area of expertise, I'm going to have a problem when I go and share in about another month or so. And then I started to look around, and what I saw as I was looking around were students studying note cards, and then I saw other people texting and working on their phones, and then I saw that people were catching up on much needed sleep. So I thought, okay, so what is my goal going to be when I go to share at CIU in a chapel program? My goal really is to share with you encouragement. I felt a little overwhelmed. I said, you know, I don't have an impressive education. It's adequate, but there's nothing very impressive about it, so I won't read my string of degrees off for you. I haven't written any books. I really have never worked in the professional workplace. So what am I going to talk about and what am I going to share? And the Lord very quickly began to show me, you take the one thing that will last when heaven and earth have passed away, and you hold up my word before these young people, and you trust me as my word goes forth to give out hope and encouragement and direction and to lead them and guide them and lift them up, perhaps to convict and to woo and to draw and to grow and to challenge. So that's what I've come here to do today, is to just share God's word for a few minutes with you this morning. I mentioned that in some respects, I feel quite at home. And the reason that I could say that is the one thing that I do have to show for my life that I am very, very thankful for are four children. And they all fall pretty much within your age ranges now. They are 20 to 29 years old. And between the four of them and all of the young people that have come into our lives through them, I feel like I've begun to have some kind of idea. You know, you're really never very encouraged or impressed when somebody my age comes and tells you, I remember when, because you don't think that we really remember when. But when I tell you that all the time I have the opportunity to talk to people your age and to interface with them and to go to dinner with them and just share in their lives, then maybe you can believe that I have some idea of the things that are on your mind right now. Many of you are coming to that place in your life where the weight and the responsibility of growing up is beginning to loom large. I went to a coffee the other night for a young woman that is a dear friend of mine, and many people her age were there, and she has such an exciting story of what God's doing in her life, and she had called people together to begin to share. And as I was talking to a couple of the other young girls, one of them said to me, I've been out of college for 3 years, Miss Harrison, and I'll have to tell you that It's been really, really hard. These are the years that I was living for. I thought the coolest thing in the whole world would be to grow up and be on my own. And I've found that it's really quite difficult. And it's really a little bit scary, and it's really a little bit overwhelming at times. Perhaps that's the true thought and the true feeling that many of you are beginning to come to realization with. Growing up may not be all that it was cracked up to be. It's not uncommon at this age or stage in your life for you to have really no concrete, sure idea of where you're going next, or what it is that you're really supposed to do. What does the next step look like for you? For many, the future is uncertain because up until now, you've always had a blueprint. You always knew what the next step pretty much was supposed to be. Maybe you've come to a place and you really have no career path. You're supposed to declare a major and you're not even sure what that should be. Perhaps you are coming to the end of 4 years here and you have no job secured as yet. You had hoped at this point in your lives to have met someone that you would share the rest of your life with, but right now you have no prospects of building a family. And certainly, no financial security waits for you in the next few years. You know, there was a young man named Joseph, and I'm going to assume that many of you in this group will remember well all of the details and stories about Joseph, because he's probably one of the most well-known people in the Bible. There are many incredible studies about his life, but this morning I have chosen just one that I wanted to share with you that I hope will bring you encouragement if anything I've said is touched on where you might be in your life right now. He was the next to the youngest in a large family, number 11 out of 12 brothers. Can you imagine that? They were what we would call today a blended family, children from different mothers, and they were all mushed together, and the expectation was for them to get along together. They were probably, we would say, from an affluent family and all involved in the family business together. And they were followers of the true and the living God. And as a young man, Joseph had dreams and ideas, but he didn't have a lot of wisdom and he didn't have a lot of experience with God or man when he was a young man to go along with those dreams. And I'm not speaking about the interpretation or the gifting to interpret dreams that God so clearly gave to Joseph right now. I'm talking about dreams that all people have, but particularly young people, particularly when your grown-up life stretches out in front of you, the dreams that motivate you and the dreams that generate passion and excitement deep within you, the thing that drives you and encourages you to continue studying, continue praying, continue pursuing whatever step God has put in front of you. They are the thoughts and the ideas that motivate and compel us to build towards the future. When Joseph was about 17, he had some dreams where he saw himself as being very important. He saw himself as being the center of the power wheel. He envisioned everybody else would be working for him. He would be the big man, and everybody else was going to be coming to him. And you know, when he shared those dreams and those ideas with his family, they didn't appreciate it very much. It didn't impress them in the least that baby brother Joseph thought that he would be the one that would be in charge. Although God gave Joseph those dreams, I think at that point, he's such a picture of what happens when our dreams are not surrendered to the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives. Could I ask you for just a minute to stop and consider your own personal dreams? Where do you see yourself in the future? What do you envision for your life? Do your dreams include being influential, being successful? What's wrong with being influential and what's wrong with being successful? It just depends on whose definition of influential and successful you're trying to fulfill. Have you ever stopped to evaluate your dreams and ask yourself, are these my dreams? Are these the dreams my parents have always had for me? Is this the direction and the calling of God on my life? And if you have considered those questions, have you ever taken those dreams and deliberately laid them down at the foot of the cross and said, God, you've placed these dreams in my heart, and I know that your word says that you desire to, you long to give us the desires of our heart, but I want to surrender my dreams. I want to surrender my definition of success and influence. I want to surrender my hopes for a family and a future to you, because by faith I believe that you do all things well. Would you be willing to ask God, if you don't have any dreams yet, your dream is just to like get through. Just get over today. And there are a lot of people at your age where that's your dream. And sometimes that's my dream still, just get through. But would you be willing today to ask God to give you his dreams for your life, to surrender your plans and surrender your ideas, to surrender even your goals? You know, I think we hold on to them so tight because we're so afraid he's going to take away what it is we want to do. And that's such a lack of trust, and it's such a lack of faith in his word. And Joseph's life became the series of experiences that God used to perfect and to prepare him so that God could fulfill God's dreams and God's ideas and God's purposes and God's future through Joseph. And slowly and often painfully, the immature and inexperienced young Joseph was molded and conformed to a mature and a wise and a godly man whose counsel and direction were sought after. Wouldn't that be our definition of influence and success? To be considered mature and wise and godly, and for people to come to us and ask for counsel and direction, and for us to have the God-given insight and discernment to direct and to lead people. So perfecting by God is the process that he so often uses to help us get our eyes off of ourselves and our eyes off of our own dreams and place them on him. And his perfecting began, as you know, in a pit where jealous and cruel brothers left him to die. Probably in a room this size with this many people with this many different backgrounds, there could be someone here today who says, I've been in that pit. I know what it feels like to be rejected. I used to think every young person that came to a Christian college had Christian parents that were encouraging them. And I've learned through my daughter's experience that that is not the case at all. Perhaps some of you have had to overcome personal obstacles and climb your way, or God helped you climb out of a pit where you have been rejected. Maybe your pit was a classroom. Maybe your pit was a relationship or some other deep and difficult trial that God is using to perfect you. Perfecting took place for Joseph while being a part of a caravan of the Ishmaelites, while they were taking him away down to Egypt, far from anything familiar. Is somebody sitting around in a room this size, and although it's filled with people, you are far away and you feel lonely and you feel isolated and you feel like a misfit and you have no idea where you're going and you have no idea what's ahead, and the truth of the situation and the truth that's in your heart right now is you're afraid and you're uncertain. Joseph began to recognize that God was with him, because it's in the perfecting and it's in the trials and it's in the pits and it's in the difficult places that most of us begin to recognize in a very personal way that God is with us. Perfecting took place in the palace of a pagan officer. Joseph had never been outside of his father's home. Now he's in the palace of a pagan officer, where he was doing an excellent job. In fact, he distinguished himself and was elevated to the top dog within the ranks. And then he was falsely accused. And one of these days, or perhaps it's already happened, you might find yourself in an office or in a class or in a place of training where you are misrepresented, even though you're giving it your all and you're doing your best. It's perfecting. Took place in a prison for Joseph, a place where he again was recognized for his leadership skills, again recognized because he seemed to have insights and wisdom and discernment, and yet he was forgotten. All that he offered and all that he gave, and even though it saved the neck of the baker, he still was forgotten, and he learned to surrender again to God's timing in his life. And maybe you're waiting, maybe you're wondering if you've been overlooked or if you've been forgotten. Perhaps you're waiting to hear about graduate school. Perhaps you're waiting to hear about a job. Perhaps you're waiting to audition for the worship team. Perhaps you are in a place right now and God is perfecting you in the waiting, to trust him and to trust his timing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. One of the happiest people your age I know. I mentioned her earlier briefly. I went and she's graduated from college a few years ago. The first thing she found herself doing, she's sharp, she's smart, she's dynamic, she has leadership skills. She's adorable. She never dreamed that life would be reduced again to working in a bagel shop. So she works in a bagel shop, and after a year or two, she gets hired at a large church in Charlotte. But her job at the large church is inside a little cubicle. And she's such a people person, and she's so engaging, and she's so full of life and love and joy, and she's beautiful. And she's working in a cubicle. And for a year, she's frustrated. And for a year, she's saying, Lord, what am I doing here? And for a year, she's saying, surely there's more. This is not what I was created for. And all the time, God's perfecting her. And God's growing her. And God's introducing her to people. And God's teaching her how to teach his word and share devotions and be a part of big programs. And now she's going with Adventures and Missions. Some of you may be familiar with that. She's going to do 11 countries in 11 months, around the world mission trip over the next year. And she believes now she's starting to actually begin to walk in her gifting and her calling and have the opportunity to pour her love for Jesus into people that she will meet all along the way. I think about my young friend Leah. I had lunch with Leah not long ago, and she said, Jan, you know, it's a battle every day. I have to tell myself I'm really not a loser, even though at my age I was a graduate in graphic arts. She is extremely talented. Right now she nannies for a family, and the father of the family is a doctor, and he keeps asking her what her career goals are. And she keeps saying, this is where God has placed me now. The world says, what's wrong? You've got all these skills and all these abilities. Why do you still live with your mother, Leo? Why aren't you doing something with yourself? But she said, all I know is I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to show me. I want his dreams for my life. I want him to work in me and use me and call me. And so I wait. And I'm being perfected while I nanny for a little girl who's dying from leukemia. And then I'll tell you my own dreams. My own dreams at your age were very simple. In fact, people would say they were very old school. I wanted to marry my high school sweetheart, and I did. I wanted to raise a family, and I had four children. And I will tell you those dreams never always looked the way that I thought they would. I will tell you that there have been so many times things had to be surrendered and I had to let go and it couldn't be what I had in mind. And last fall, the dream became, for a period of time, what I would call a nightmare. Our son that was 27 died suddenly in Nairobi, Kenya. And my dream of my family changed like that. But God's word says, happy is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord. Your dreams won't make you happy. Your goals for your future won't make you happy. I wonder, do you think Joseph was happy when they pulled him up out of the pit? Yes, until he realized that he was going to be sold away and he was at the mercy of strangers. Do you think he was happy when he got sold to the captain of the guard? I mean, nice house, nice place to go, good work environment. Yes, until he was framed and falsely accused. Do you think he was happy that the jailer at least noticed him and put him in charge of other inmates? Yes, until he was forgotten. Do you see my point? I'm sure you do. Happiness is never based on circumstances. Happiness is never based on the fulfillment of our dreams. Happiness based on circumstances and people is always short-lived. Let me ask you this morning, what would make you really happy? Would it be to get through your next class? Would it be to graduate? Would it be to be approved for a scholarship? Would it be to get a job and to have a decent salary? Would it be to know your gifting and your calling and be sure where you were going? Would it be probably to find someone to share the rest of your life with? Would it be to have success and to be influential? You know, Ephesians 2:10 says, you are his workmanship. And you think about just that much. You invest in your own workmanship. It is your dream and purpose and goal to see your workmanship successful and influential. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's thrilling to hear the percentages of young people from this school that go on to become missionaries involved in full-time ministry, ministers in the workplace, wherever God calls you. He has good works that were prepared for you before the foundations of the world, and he has told us, walk in them. You know God had prepared Joseph for good works. You know the story. By the time he was 30 years old, he was promoted from the prison to the second most influential and successful man in all of Egypt. The painful preparation had become a position of influence and power. He was at the center of the power wheel, and everybody did need him. And ultimately, the dreams of an immature and inexperienced young man were fulfilled. And when those dreams were exercised in God's timing and in God's way, he was used to influence with his wisdom and grace for the glory of God and to preserve and to protect a people. Happy is not the world's definition. Happy, the Bible says, is the man or woman who trusts his or her hopes and dreams and plans and desires to the Lord. I asked myself, what would I hope to leave with today? When I drive back up the highway and Columbia's in my rearview mirror, Lord, what will have happened here? And I'm going to ask you if you would stand to your feet with me. And if you would take a few minutes, perhaps Dr. Jones would like to come and pray with us, and we would all make this a day that we could remember. Sometimes, somewhere, when you look back and you say, I remember the day that lady came and she talked about dreams. And I remember when I was 22 or 3 or 4 or 5, however old you are, however young you are, that I surrendered my dreams and my plans and my goals and my hopes to the Lord. And even though I find myself many times with the dreams not looking the way I envisioned them, I remember that because I trusted him, and because I chose to give them to him, that he will take them and he will use them and he will give me influence and he will give me success in heaven's sight. And I will be doing the good work that I've been created to do. Thank you for this opportunity.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.